This is Crosswalk Talk with Carlotta Walden. Carlotta is the founder of Crosswalk Life Ministries, an ordained minister of counseling, registered nurse, and Bible college educator. I'm Dan Baker, and welcome to this edition of our broadcast. Crosswalk Talk is a weekly Christian talk show all about knowing and experiencing God in our lives. We call it Crosswalk Talk because Jesus died on the cross and made it possible for us to walk the walk. And we all know that our walk talks much louder than our talk talks. This is your show, your opportunity to share true stories of healing, miracles, provision, and God intervening in the lives of people today. And now, here's Carlotta.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us. Hope you're inviting a friend. This is going to be a very practical teaching and discussion today that will help us to understand where we are in our maturation. Are we becoming more mature? If so, is it in the area of being emotionally mature, mentally mature, spiritually mature? How are we doing? What do other people say, by the way? Have you gotten feedback where they might say, I wish you would grow up or get it together? Can't you get it right? Or, this is how you come across. You know, there are many different ways that people can try to express to us that we need to work on our maturity. And so today what I'm going to do is share a test with you that I have put together. It is not a professional test. This is not something that you will find on the internet. It's just what I've put together from my own experience and feedback from others. And I think you will find it very, very handy. We're going to go over about 35 points. Certainly not exhaustive, and I'm really depending on you callers to call in with other points. And we're going to let you evaluate it the way you want to. If you'd like to use it as a list, please write it down. If you'd like to just put the positive points, you can, or you can grade it like on 0 to 5, how strong am I in this area of maturity? Or you can put down the positive point and its negative side and, you know, muse over it later or do both. But I just want to pray right now that God will open our eyes and ears to be able to discern ourselves rightly, to be able to recall the feedback that we've gotten from people that love us and wanted to give us constructive criticism, for the conviction of the Holy Spirit where He has tried to tell us what He wants to do in our lives and to tutor us. Or from those that are mentoring us that have tried to build us up in the faith and tried to gently show us where our weak places are that can be made strong as we focus in Christ in us. So I just want to encourage you to keep listening, have pen and paper handy, and to see how you do. Test yourself. Of course, it's subjective. It's your opinion about you. But if you really are brave, you can also write the list and show it to someone else who knows you well later. Hallelujah. So are you ready? Are you ready? Okay. Number one, are you more humble or prideful? In other words, like, are you listening to this hoping that someone else will listen to it because you want to get the log out of their eye first? The humble person would say, oh Lord, search my heart. You know, show me where you want me to mature. Okay. Number two, are you more open or close-minded? Like, are you willing to consider changes or adjustments that you can make? New ideas or new moves of God even. Are you open? Number three, are you correctable or more defensive? When people bring you suggestions, creative ideas, suggestions for you to make adjustments, are you willing to take this criticism to the Lord and see if it's partly true even? Would be helpful to you if it's of God? Are people willing to even try to correct you, or are they so sure you're going to be defensive that they don't try? Now, some of you may even need to do word studies or look these words up. For instance, I ask a man, how do you define defensive? And he says, well, you're either on the defensive team or the offensive team. And I said, no, I mean in terms of maturity. And he said, yeah, you're on the defense or on the offense. I said, never mind. So if you'd like to look up defensive, for instance, because you're not sure if you are or not, you can go to our main website at crosswalklife.com, and put defensive in the search box at the top, and you'll find a whole article explaining many ways that a person can be defensive. And of course, this is the opposite of being mature in that area, so that one article could help you a lot. Number four, are you approachable or like walled in, protected in your fort of safety? Do you welcome others in with love and acceptance, open mind to hear what they've got to say? Are you easily entreated? Or you got your walls up and people know it? Number five, are you teachable or coming across as a know-it-all? Are you teachable in areas where you have a lot of insight already and are willing to learn more? Are you willing to learn for people that you perceive as knowing less than you? Do you feel like you can learn something from everybody? Number six, would people say that you're more disciplined or disorganized? Do you consistently pursue ways to please the Lord? You're disciplined in your Christian life? Do you come across as being consistent or hit and miss, disorganized in how you steward your time and resources? Disciples are disciplined. Number seven, would people say you're more anointed or self-reliant? Have you said, Lord, I do not want to minister without your anointing or do anything, go through my day without your anointing? Or are you pretty self-sufficient, self-reliant, pretty well trained and know what to do and don't get all bogged down in praying about it? Number eight, are you more responsible or irresponsible? Do you just do what the Father says to do? Or you feel like you can figure it all out for yourself? Do people see you as responsible when you are on assignment? They can count on you. Or do they hesitate because you're fairly irresponsible and then maybe even blame others? Nine, are you more confident or lacking in confidence or insecure? Are you confident that Christ in you can do whatever, or feeling insecure, inadequate, doubting confidence in yourself, seeing yourself separate from Christ? Where do you fall with confidence? Number 10, are you submitted, easily submitted, submitting to one another, or are you fairly resistant? Do you resist what the Holy Spirit wants to do, the rules that other people are led to set up? Are you resisting even what God wants and quite willing to just be in the permissive will of God because you're not sure if God can meet your needs better than you? Are you willing to submit to God before you know all the details of His plan? Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Are you more forgiving or resentful? That's number 11. Do you have a heart to restore others, to forgive them, or more into keeping a record of wrongs? In fact, someone's name and history is coming to your mind right now. Areas of hurt that's unhealed and resentment. Number 12, are you more deferring or demanding? Deferring is like willing to look and see if you'd let someone else have their preference or opinion this time. You can be flexible. You can honor what other people want and not have to insist on your own way. Are you fairly demanding, commanding other people, pushing for your point, striving? Number 13, are you more serving or helpless? Do you see what needs to be done and people can count on you to pitch right in with setup, cleanup, whatever? Or do you not only not see what needs to be done, but you're always looking for someone to help you, maybe. 14. Are you more faithful or more inconsistent? Are you faithful as unto the Lord? Faithful to obey, faithful to cooperate, faithful in attendance, faithful to be on time, those things. Or are you inconsistent, that you are there sometimes, sometimes not? You have to be noticed or compensated, or you may not show up, may change your mind. Or you type person doesn't have to be noticed, thanked, or appreciated because you're just faithful. 15. Are you more loyal or more fickle? Very similar, but it's actually like, can people count on you to support them or the vision? Or to be devoted to the Lord even? Careful not to touch God's glory, but always there in whatever way he wants to live through you. Or are you on sometimes and sometimes off? Depends. 16. Are you more of an intercessor or more of an accuser? When things get tough, sparks are flying or tensions are high, can people count on you to be the intercessor? Or are you likely to blame and accuse? Or will you lift them up even when they failed, not behaving so well? Or are you going to not only accuse them of the current thing, but their past too? 17. Do people perceive you as more loving or more distant? Are you known for your unconditional love and acceptance, for giving appropriate affection freely? Or do you keep people at arm's distance when they don't meet your standards or have disappointed you? 18. Are you more Christ-centered or self-centered? Focused on Christ or focused on yourself? Thank you, Lord. Show us that, Lord. Are you more materialistic, 19, or more spiritual? Are you driven more by obtaining things, possessions, natural and spiritual rewards? Or are you more of a long-term investor, going after what's eternal and spiritual? Do you see yourself primarily as what you own, how you look, and you know what you do, or as a spiritual creature, an expression of Christ? Number 20. Are you more prayerful or impulsive? When it's time to make choices, is it easy for you to wait on the Lord? Or do you wait anyway? Wait for green lights, not rush through yellow lights? Or do you mostly go by the seat of your pants, by emotions, by impulse, following your heart, what feels right at the time? Number 21. Are you a good time manager? Are you good at organizing and being a good steward of your time? Or do you wind up being disorganized, not getting to the important things, for doing what seems urgent, but maybe you're just putting out fires, not sure of God's priorities for your day? 22. Are you a giver or a taker? Do people think when you show up that they'll get a deposit into their lives, or that you're going to be making a withdrawal? Are you going to be giving to them or wanting to borrow or take? Do you think in terms of what you have to offer or what people have to offer you? 23. Do people see you as more patient or as easily irritated? Do they have to walk on eggshells around you and be careful, careful, careful how they present things? Or are they able to be themselves, to grow from where they are because you're patient and don't overreact to their mistakes, their immaturity, or their carnality? 24. Are you spirit-led most of the time or easily manipulated? When someone asks something of you, are you quick to say, hold on, got to check with the Lord, got to be spirit-led? Or are you easily manipulated, an easy sell, led by the crowd? 25. Are you busy focusing on being an individual or more corporate in nature? Are you usually about proving who you are, especially that you're not the parents or not the authorities or not the leadership? Or are you more corporate? You're able to do what's good for the whole team. Do you find the house rules easy to go along with because it's what good for everybody? Or do you think it's okay to break the rules as long as you don't get caught, or even if you get caught because rules are stupid? 26. Are you known for bringing the presence of God with you, or that you're fairly full of yourself? Are you more about your own talents and abilities and being the life of the party, or even isolating but not bringing the presence of God? Do you spend time in the presence of God so that what you minister, the vibes you give off, will be His? 27. Are you more about reconciliation or division? Apostle Paul had said we have a ministry of reconciliation, not condemnation. When times get tough, are you the one that speaks restoration, that keeps making little steps toward reconciliation, or can even facilitate it, or that speaks the division? The X is the other person off the list, or is happy to be behind walls, putting your point more, putting your point across more than caring about people. 28. Are you known for good manners or being fairly unsophisticated? We can't take you anywhere. You're not that respectful of the rules of conduct. Are you chosen to represent a business or a church or ministry or a family or whatever because you do have that good kind of sophistication that's about knowing how to carry yourself appropriately, an awareness of what's happening, what God's doing, and what people need? A good manners that make a good first impression and put people at ease. 29. Do you come across as a blessing or as difficult? Do you just have to push the limits and test authority and to do it your way in spite of what you might have agreed to do? Or are you a blessing, happy to fit in, to go along with the team, and to make some sacrifices for the benefit of all? Hallelujah. 30. Are you motivated by God or worldly things? Where do your motivations come from? Are you motivated on the inside by His Spirit, or motivated by what's going on the outside, by the world? The next best offer. What motivates you really? Because in many of these things, any answer might be right in some cases, if the motivation was right. Hallelujah. Now, what about covenant relationships? 31. Are you good at being faithful to your covenant relationships, or do you frequently have broken relationships? This was a big challenge for me. I didn't really know how to do this well. Began to have good models and to find out how to value covenant relationships more than micromanaging them. Began to keep relationships rather than throw them away because we disagreed on 10 or 20%. Began to focus on the 80%. Began to build bridges instead of burning them. Began to look at relationships as I can learn from anyone and I can be a blessing to anyone if I'm willing. 32. Are you more victorious or more often the victim? Do you see yourself as victorious, as God redeeming every experience that you've had? Or do you see yourself as the victim, as others wanting to victimize you? It's usually coming out on the short end of the stick. You can't have both, really. You'll either see the victory in whatever God asks you to do or wherever He places you, or you can see it through a filter of you're victimized again, as if people are totally in control. 33. Are you known for your unconditional love or performing for acceptance or pressuring other people to perform for acceptance? Are you known for knowing that love is the most important thing? Putting people above possessions, putting loving and accepting people more than measuring their performance, their behavior? Are you known for pressuring people? They've got to do it your way, the highway, meet your standards, that they are their behavior? And there are many more, but I'm going to stop with 34 or 35. I think I've got two more. That are you known for straight talk or crooked communication? By straight, I don't mean abusive or aggressive, but do you say what you mean and mean what you say? Can people count on you as a person of your word? Or are you known for manipulative, crooked communication that might mean one thing, might mean another? Communication that is something you use for an end that blesses you? Or are you willing to be transparent and open and clear so that people are certain of what you're saying? And lastly, 35, are you known for a high moral standard or compromise? There's many ways that a person can be moral or immoral. There's many areas that we can compromise in. Even innuendos and jokes that we tell. Things that we watch, look at, listen to. Things, little things that we do that invite immorality or are an expression of God's heart. Amen. Amen. Well, how'd you do? If you say take away or say give yourself 3 points for each one of these that you feel like you do quite well in, then you've got a couple of bonus questions here. But you can also grade this on like 0 to 5 or 0 to 10 of how well you're doing on each one. Or you can just make a list of goals, areas where the Holy Spirit has said, you need to do a little better, to trust Him, to mature you, to live His life through you. Lord, last thing we want is to do this in our own strength. We don't want that. That's not maturity. We know that You take responsibility for tutoring us and for leading and guiding, guarding, directing us, and we just choose right now for You to do that. Even if we listen to this again, that You'll show us the areas where we need to grow and mature. I'm just going to give you a chance here while we worship a little bit with Robert Gay from Higher Praise Worship Center in near Panama City to just you know, bow before the Lord and say, Lord, show me. You show me. You show me, Lord, where You want me to mature in Christ more. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord.
Oh. Lord, if you've been in a position where you've worked with children, adults, people, young or old, you know something about what you care about in maturity, what you like to see other people do or not do, and how you like to see them interact, carry their load, or be cognizant of the rules. Some people are more rules-oriented than others, but frankly, you know, like in a dorm where there's some rules, this can be a good thing, that we all think of each other rather than, you know, just do what suits us. Hallelujah. So I'd like to take callers now that have a comment or question about what maturity is or isn't, what's important to you, or maybe an insight that God's given you or a challenge that you've had, because I think that we've probably all been tested on each and every one of these. So please call 917-388-4683. Sound off. Let us know what matters to you. This is your chance. Let us know how you see it, experience it, what you think God thinks. I've got a bunch of callers, but nobody's pushed number one. So if you would like to discuss this some more today, let me know. Push number one, call 917-388-4683. Area code 310, welcome to the program.
Yes, and thinking of maturity, myself, and particularly spiritual maturity, and I guess other things, is when you really aren't buffeted or double-minded. You don't think, oh, is it this? Oh, could it be that? You may have questions. You may want to get facts and look at something. But when there is maturity there, you know, I think it's a very calm investigation. You don't feel buffeted. And dealing with people, and I guess I'm thinking more adults, but even with adolescents or children, if people can, without anger or pouting, give their opinion or what it is that they want to voice that, because I think maturity allows one to have that emotional balance and intelligence where you can speak up, but you don't have to push it through just to have your way, but you do at least express it.
Very good. Very
so
good.
Those were just really my only comments, and I found that there are times, which I hate to admit, if someone is being very emotionally immature and maybe it's hit a nerve, that I don't keep my balance of keeping humor and respond in a mature manner. So I think the more immature people are, the more mature one really should draw on their sources to be.
Wow, wow, you said a mouthful, about 10 things there. One might be to put it in a choice like we've been listing today might be, are you more assertive or more aggressive? Can people count on you to say what you can do or can't do, but also to do it in a calm, assertive manner and not get real aggressive about it, not to imply that they are something horrible because they've asked, you know, just to be able to give assertive, clear answer without getting all aggressive and angry. Or even if you are angry, to be assertive and not aggressive. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So do you have an example or anything else that comes to mind to give clarity to how do we remain calm and easy to work with?
Well, I think that comes with maturity. Because,
yes.
And I think also if you're spiritually centered, doesn't matter how mature you are, but if you stay spiritually centered, your eyes are on God, your self-worth is from God, you're not looking for that from individuals.
Okay.
I think you'll be more courteous to others, and when others are incorrect, you just realize that it's not really the individual you're fighting with. It's another plane of, I think, attack from the enemy. Just working through someone who isn't as mature. And at times, unfortunately, people are very unfair and very unpleasant, and you know, you still do your best job and you assert, and you know, you don't have to throw yourself on a sword to be right.
Wow, another handful of things. I could just take notes. And do you think that need to be right, something to prove, always have to be right or force your opinion on others? You know, do you think there's a deeper root to that we could mention too?
Well, I think there is, and I also think there's situations where if you keep running across situations of injustice or rudeness, and you feel powerless, you're going to react more.
Oh, yes. Do people see this coming across as courteous, as just, as fair? Wow, all of those could be added to the list. And probably underneath those, if a person has to prove this, prove that, and it's just a pattern with them, I would say, are we coming from a place of self-worth, knowing that Christ made us worthy, or are we coming from a place of just needing to be right, to be acknowledged, to be the winner, in order to try to establish some kind of worth on our own, maybe? I don't know.
Well, I find for myself, I don't like to admit it, but sometimes things may not be done, and they're absolutely supposed to be. It's very clear. People may not be doing their job, and they may not be courteous about it. If I'm feeling frustrated and one thing after another doesn't work out, and I'm really, in those cases, know that I'm doing the right thing, and it just keeps happening, I might tend to be more impatient because I think, you know, really it's about time people did what they're supposed to and that they could at least be courteous. If everything's just going well and I have that, you know, I see it for what it is, some people being lazy and not being very courteous, and I would like something, but I would respond differently. You know, it's a series of things. You know, there's a way to be able to say, well, please, I need help with this. And, you know, then they come and you accomplish what it is you really want, to be able to get something done. That was the goal. You need some help. And you get that. So I think, and that's maybe a trust issue. You know, things are going to work out. Things are going to do. So maybe it's a little bit of that. Trusting God to work it out, not taking things so personally, or having the world be right on small things or even large things, which are so, sometimes people get so upset over a world event, and they are very upsetting. But again, a sense of control. And some things are not within our power to fix. We can only impact where we are in the world on that issue.
Well, and on that big a scale, I would say to own our responsibility and power to pray, because I think many times we feel helpless when actually we're not. We can pray. We can get a prayer partner. We can start a prayer group. We can share prayer points. And we can make a difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, we're never powerless, although, yeah, at times we may feel that way. And I think always to go to prayer. Again, if we're spiritually centered, we'll go to prayer. And I think that these small witnesses to people, because people are going to know if we're Christian or not, not that that should be a burden around our neck, or, you know, we're feeling, oh, now we have to this, or we condemn ourselves. But to remember always to go in prayer, and if at some time we are not as mature as we would like to be, we can always apologize.
Oh, my. That's another one I definitely have to add. Are we able to apologize or admit we're wrong, you know, or make a correction?
And sometimes we can't, just because we know. Sometimes we can just decide to give the benefit of the doubt, not in a condescending way, but you know, I think in business I have a situation, somebody said something, I knew that they were lying. Just no ifs, ands, or buts, I just knew it. But instead of reacting from that, I might have given them the benefit of the doubt, but still made my point.
You know, somebody might listen to this and think, oh, this is, you know, just practical, but I'm telling you, this is what really makes a difference in the marketplace, and 98% of the people are marketplace ministers. Are we able to do these practical things and love people in very practical ways? You know, are we so insecure? Are we so worldly? Are we so natural? Are we so outward instead of inward, you know, that people don't get this stuff from us, and they notice.
Well, and I think it's important to be kind enough, and I'm not saying fake, but kind enough that you could give people a chance to calm themselves down or to apologize themselves. But if it becomes heated, you separate.
Yeah.
Or if you become too judgmental about someone being immature, there's a way to deal with reality, and there's a way to deal with it where you feel that somebody is less than you are because they're immature.
Well, I'm just adding another one to the list, because I believe that maturity takes the time or makes an effort or asks God so they can be truly discerning rather than snap judgment, that rather than project things on people from our own experiences or even to project their own past onto their present, assuming that they'll be whatever they've been in the past, that will discern each situation for what it is.
And I think maturity allows you to have a bigger picture, to look at how other people might see things, even though you don't see it that way at all. And you may not agree, but well, isn't that interesting? Somebody could think that. It may be beyond your comprehension, but at least you can see it. You may not accept it. And talking about marketplace, that's what the marketplace is built on, how people perceive things. It's not what it is necessarily, really. It's how does it make people feel? How do they think? How do they react to it? And through the fortunes that have been made in marketing have been because somebody had insight that other people didn't have.
Well,
on how people really felt. And so I think it's good to be open to that. It doesn't mean that you have to accept it or condone it.
And to pull it back into the, you know, spiritual also, with our language, it's also to be able to see people from God's point of view, because he came, because he, you know, God so loved the whole world. Am I able to see God's intention, how God wants to be his love through me or be his power through me to them? Or am I able to see Christ in them? Or am I just looking at their behavior, which is not what our gospel is about, just judging people by their behavior or their outward or their positions or anything else? Am I able to tune in as a mature person to what God's plan for the other person is, not just what I hope, you know, God's plan is for me? Hallelujah. Thank you.
Very true. And also with maturity in doing, and again, I draw from my own experience, so it's biased that way. It's good to see these things, but you have to know when it is your time. I mean, maybe you're a supervisor or a parent. Maybe there are times where you can understand it, you can discuss it, but there still are certain behaviors that are accepted. That only certain behaviors are acceptable. And there are consequences if those behaviors aren't met. So that you, knowing that line to draw and being helpful and not crossing the line to codependency. I give an example. I had an employee never showed up on time. Obviously was depressed, came out, I'm just going to quit. I said, well, do you think, what other job are you going to get? You're very good at this. And what other job do you think is going to let you come in late? Why don't we agree? Here, let's have this contract. You know, and you just make yourself get up when you're, you know. Maybe you need to talk to someone about it. But also had boundaries. You know, here are some things that you have to do. You know, you just can't let people come in hours and hours late.
Yeah.
You know, there are some lines, and you can get maturity is knowing how much to help and then when to draw the boundary. And that's, you know, with children and adults too.
Because we've all got to learn to be respectful. If we want to reap respect, we've got to sow it. We've got to learn to identify where rebellion may still be operating in us. Maybe you're still reacting to people because your mother did this too much or too little, or your father, and maybe you still overreact to other people that remind you of that. We need to get healed and get over it. Give all those things to Jesus who died on the cross to take it, and learn how to respect people, whether they meet all of our standards or not, simply because they're a person of the position they're in or the authority they have. And we've just got to learn to sow respect when everything doesn't suit us.
Absolutely. Whether they have certain work responsibilities or in the hierarchy and work they're above, or if it's just in personal life, I think always to show respect, always to be respectful, but you can draw a line on certain chaos or certain behaviors. You don't have to be drawn into it, which, you know, sometimes easier to say than do, particularly if it's your children or, you know, people you're close to.
Well, and we all want to be given credit for where we're maturing, and we do need to give credit for where people are maturing, but I'm in total agreement. With simple disciplines like learning to be earlier on time. I know in my own case, I am very diligent to be on time or early if I'm the speaker. But do I show that same respect when someone else is the speaker? Well, not always. You know, and not to be legalistic, but just to be respectful of other people and what God wants to do through them. And I just believe that a few house rules are a good thing, because it teaches us to put others before ourselves sometimes and to organize ourselves so that we don't inconvenience other people unnecessarily. And I just think that, go ahead.
Now, I was just going to say, I agree on those house rules, and I think they're not always easy to do, but particularly if you have roommates or house guests or anything, the clearer you are about what it is that you expect, the easier it is for everyone. And I think particularly, you know, as kids go off to college and they have roommates or they share a pot, sometimes those discussions are hard, but it's nice to have, you know, some of them ahead of time on the important issues. Because people respond to cues differently, and some people might even bringing it up be offended that somebody brings it up. But
another glaring omission on my list, because I thought of these things and I thought I had added them, and now that we're discussing it, I realize that I did forget to add it. One, a huge one is morality versus compromise. Because one thing that we're criticized for so much by other countries, by other businesses, churches, is when our morality and our theology doesn't match up, when we're known for compromise, even in our first appearance things, dress, in our what we watch, what we look at, what we listen to, if there's an attraction in us for the immoral things, if we have a record of compromise, if we our language, the stories and jokes that we tell suggest compromise instead of morality, then that can undo everything that we've tried to build up or portray or to preach. It's very important.
Yes, and I think, you know, that also makes me think of peer pressure. And, you know, it takes a very mature person to stand up against pressure instead of reading some of the hazing stories. I'm just shocked that so many people who feel some of this hazing is wrong feel powerless to speak up. And that
they kind of don't bind together
to say we're not going to tolerate this. That takes a lot of courage and maturity.
Yeah, it does. It does.
And it goes with also this morality that you just don't.
And will our morality?
Morality versus compromise. Well, I'll just get through this. Or
yeah, and anybody can be have morality when there's not a huge opportunity that seems to be connected to compromise. But that's when we find out. As they say, what you are in private is who you really are, not what you are in public. So, thank you. Well, thank you, Patty. I just appreciate you sharing. Added 10 or 20 things to our list here, but they're all important.
It's a big topic when you think about it in your day-to-day life. It is, and also spiritual life. It, you know, the roots of it. It's a huge, huge topic.
Thank you.
So thank you.
Well, bless you. May God bless you and everything He wants to do through you. And we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for Patty, and Lord, for the way that you work through her and her ministry and business. We thank you, Lord. And I just hear the Lord saying that this is just a very key message for you today, and that too many people have separated their spiritual life from their business life, from their natural life, and all, and tried to compartmentalize it. But what they really want to see is a person that's genuine, a person that's consistent. And what the world's hungry for today is not religion, but a Christian life that works. And the Lord says, excuse me, I had this earlier too. Thank you for your prayers, everybody. The Lord says that we are all to walk the walk and talk the talk, and that to even be mindful of the places where people have known us to compromise, and to even give a testimony of insights that we've gotten that have showed us areas of personal growth and where we've aligned ourselves with God. And to we just choose to trust you, God, just to trust you to enable us to put eternal things first instead of temporal, and to, as Patty was emphasizing, to always be mindful of the choices that we make and how it impacts other people. And we just thank you, Lord, that you're giving us that compassion, that consistency. We won't be the one that compromises. We'll be the one who is flexible with others. And Lord says, Patty, that I've given you the ability to be patient with those who are carnal, with those who are immature. But I'm also speaking and living through you and wanting to speak and live through you in new ways to set that standard. Not to lord it over people, but to be an expression of my heart, because true love has, if you will, a high standard of loving people on their good days and on their bad, of loving people to life, of making choices that not only benefit me but benefit others. And thank you, Lord. Just thank you. I'm just picturing just even world situations that we will be an expression of your heart and our values. And in as we walk the walk, as we talk the talk, and as we are true love to others, even when it costs us, I just thank you, Lord. We bless you, Patty. Thank you for sharing all that. You've been a real blessing to us today.
Well, thank you, and I look forward to others' comments as well.
Yes, we have some other people. Have a good day. She's still got most of her day out in front of her out there in California. Excuse me. Let me catch another caller here. We just thank you, Lord, because we all need to be accountable and we need insights. And of course, we don't want to be the last ones to know if we're coming across as immaturity. Immature, we want to know that. Amen. Area code 727, welcome to the program. Area code 727, welcome to the program. Maybe they didn't mean to push number one. if you didn't mean to, you can just push it again and it'll go off. I can't hear you, though. You might want to check your sound if you are there. Area code 727. Okay. Hi. Hello.
Hi.
What's your name? Yes, welcome. What's your name, city?
Hi, my name is Emily, and I'm from Largo, Clearwater, the Largo area in Florida.
Oh, okay. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you so much. I just enjoy your talk, and I also heard you last week, and it was just a wonderful program last week. And I just wanted to comment that it was very, very interesting and good, especially the last lady that was talking and about responsibilities and maturity. And I just enjoyed it, and I just wanted to let you know that I just enjoy your program.
Well, thank you. We're coming out of real life. You know, we all are rubbing shoulders with other people, and they're helping us to know how we can be more mature. And I'm on most of the things on this list myself. Did you want prayer for me, Emily?
Well, you know, if you have a word for me, I would appreciate it. I'm in a situation right now, and I don't know if God is, you know, would do that right now. But if I've been seeking Him about something.
Thank you, thank you. The Lord says, "I've seen your choices, Emily, and I've seen the challenges and the difficulties, and there would be some that would just give you pat answers and think these things can be put in a box. They can just box it up so nicely, but it's not always that easy. The Lord says, as you seek me, you'll find that along with the choices that you have to make this fall, that there will be many other choices that are attached to those choices. And as you seek me first, and you say, Lord, I thought I was seeking you first, you know. But as you say, how can I seek you first more? And as you meditate on the things I give you to meditate on, even do word studies on a few words that I'll give you to study, you'll find that I'm really expanding your horizons, not narrowing them down, that as you ask me what my choices for you are, that instead of restricting you, that it's going to allow you to be the real you, allow me to live through you in my full strength and power. And the Lord would say, you'll also gain personal strength in that as people would try to advise you or to speak out of their own experience and different things, you're going to be able to say, okay, I can take this, this, and this, but ultimately I have to go with what God says. And the Lord says, as you grow in trust, trust is just a key word. As you grow in trust, then you're going to find that this is a huge growth experience for you this fall, that you're just really learning to trust me despite the circumstances and the situations and despite what people say, and to know that a thing could look like it's coming to an end, but it could be just opening a door for a beginning. And so the Lord says, if you'll trust me, that I have your best interest at heart, and if I close the door, I'm also opening another, and that I know more of the facts than you do, and I can see into the future, and you're going to just come to a new place of peace and rest, that even though your heart may tug you in one way, that your spirit will learn to be aligned with me in such a way that you'll have true peace and true rest and a true strength, knowing that you have waited on me to hear me, you have listened, you have even done the meditation and the study that I've asked you to do, and that you can go forward in confidence, knowing that you are not settling for second or third best, but you're right on track in the center of my will, and that you're steadfast, and you'll be sure-footed as you go forward, even though you don't always know all of the facts ahead of time, but that you'll know that you know me, and that's the important thing. Amen?
Oh, amen. Oh, it's beautiful.
Can you relate to that?
I'm sorry?
Can you relate to that at all?
Yes, yes. Some major decisions are coming up this fall, and he has given me some things to meditate on, or is in the process of, in that, seeking him to know the answers to his direction and his guidance for taking the steps through a new doorway that it's going to take me on the other side of the world. But it's a stepping process, and everything you said was exactly right on.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. You know, it's not anything special about me, Emily, because all I do is, like, I hear it like dictation, and I just say what I hear. I really don't know how to advise or have understanding or any secret knowledge of you or anything. But on the other hand, I'm learning not to be surprised when God hits it right on, because he's God. He knows.
Yeah. I know. He's just so faithful with that.
Right. And that's what I really love about prophecy. I don't encourage people to spend their life chasing prophecies or to always want to hear second hand. But it helps to get a confirmation, and it helps to know that God knows exactly what we were asking him about, even today. It's awesome.
I know. And he's so kind about it when he tells us. You know, he's... I just noticed that when he does speak it, I know what he's saying, and he says it in a way that I can understand and that we can understand, and he's just so kind about it and his guidance about it. And so it's just a confirmation to continue doing what I'm doing, but even at a deeper level, and dig in even more. And, you know, that's just good news that just to know that I'm walking the track, even though we don't know that sometimes, but to just continue doing it. So I just want to thank you.
Have you ever called in before?
No, this is my first time. This is I heard you last week, and the program was just wonderful. And so I just dialed in this afternoon. So it was just good to listen to your program. I'm just learning to really listen to it and enjoy it.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to wish you a good day, and to tell everybody how you can find out more about hearing God, knowing God, experiencing God, get the teaching and training you need that applies to your walk and your situation. If you go to our main website, that's it sounds like three words, but it's all one word, crosswalklife.com, then there's a search box there where you can type in and see that site is mostly articles. You can see if there's an article that relates to what you're dealing with or studying or praying about. And also if you go to nowfaith.tv, there's no .com on that, that's nowfaith.tv, you can search for articles and audios and videos. It's over 4 years, if you listen to it once a week, of ministry training school and prophetic training school, and that's at nowfaith.tv. The other thing is at our newest site, PPRPM, like Personal Prayer Prayer Ministry or Personal Prophetic Restoration Prayer Ministry, PPRPM.com, that's the easy site with the 6-inch pages, I call them, where you can just find out where to click or where to apply if you would like ministry, like mentoring, training, a consultation, whatever it is you need. That's the easy side for applying and finding out what the requirements are to be a part of our student body or to get mentoring, get ministry. Hallelujah. If you're a survivor, there's a page for you too. Hallelujah. Okay, now let me ask you all, would you like to talk some more about what maturity is or isn't? I'm hoping that you have some more things to add to this because, wow, I just added 6 extremely valuable things, and we could have added a dozen easily from what you've shared so far. So please call in at 917-388-4683 and push number 1, and even if it's something we've already mentioned, we can discuss it. You can give examples. You can explain why this is important for you. So please call in 917-388-4683. I'm hoping for another caller. Okay. We've got several callers, but nobody's pushing number 1. Would you like to discuss this some more? Would anyone like personal prophetic prayer ministry today? 917-388-4683. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just push number 1 if you have something that you can share, ask, or comment on. You know me, I'm not insistent on it going the whole 2 hours if no one has anything else to share or doesn't need prayer. All right, here's one. Thank you, Lord. Area code 727, welcome to the program. Oh, wait a minute, didn't push the button, I'm sorry. I need a co-host, guys. 727.
Hey, Carlotta, this is Jan.
Hi, Jan.
Hi.
Do you have something to contribute today?
Oh, sure. I did not hear the first 45 minutes. For me, it was totally blank, phone or computer, so I didn't hear all of what you shared. But I was thinking of a couple things about maturity. You know, we're being transformed into his image and likeness. So it's from glory to glory. And, you know, maybe we have setbacks in between. But I think of, you know, we all need to work out our own salvation with the Lord, with fear and trembling, and allow the Spirit of truth to, you know, show us, and then to turn to him.
Amen.
Oh, and I was thinking, you know, sometimes we're so busy reacting or judging others for their perhaps obviously immature behavior, but God's working on us, so.
Okay.
He's like saying, don't let other people's own reactions or situations pull you away from me. Keep looking to me. And this whole thing about identity and just when you're turning away from something, repentance, you're turning away. But what are you turning to?
Uh-huh.
And he said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. So we're growing into that. We're being transformed. And But he's saying, you know, when you're in situations that maybe do have to do with you personally and you're not comfortable and you want to react and no, he says, endure hardship and just look to me. I'll deal with those people. Or if you do say something back, make sure you got the okay from me first. And then it's not a reaction, you know, but we learn.
We do.
And,
the response
and the word grace comes up, too. You know, you've got to give ourselves grace because we may have setbacks, you know. And, so just some thoughts.
And how would you define, so listeners will know, what is it to be responsive instead of reactive?
Praying about it first. You know, Jesus didn't do anything or say anything unless he heard or saw the Father do it. And if you know if you have a predisposition to, you know, a hair trigger temper or chewing people out or whatever, then you got to, you know, check your own tempers or temperament at the door. Or if you're fearful and you've been under control, you need to seek him first. And it's okay to not react at all because the enemy knows how to push those old buttons. So you can give yourself permission that you don't have to have the last word on anything, even if somebody's done something horrible to you, you know? Say, Lord, you fight my battles. And then deal with your own thoughts about it because that's where the real battle is.
Oh, man. Yes, most of our battles are between our own ears, not what's coming out of someone else's mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, keep saying you got enough. Everyone's got enough to deal with inside of themselves if they're really interfacing with me and letting me, you know, work those things out of you. You say, you know, you'll have tests because the very areas you've had difficulty in seem to keep coming up until we get it. We say, Lord, take care of this, you know. It's a process.
I call them reruns where people keep pushing the same buttons and it might be different people. And God just lets us have those reruns till we learn to open our mouth but let him fill it.
Right.
Give them a piece of his mind rather than our mind.
Yeah. And I know sometimes people face a lot of really difficult things, but like we really have to learn that Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, they're truly for us. And, you know, Jesus, half the time when the Pharisees were trying to trip him up, he didn't say anything until God had him good and ready to. And then he let it rip, but it was to speak the truth.
Well,
you know,
two points on that he went through six kangaroo courts and one night that were not legally announced and held in legal process, you know, but he very seldom said anything.
Right, because he knew it would get him in trouble. It wouldn't make a difference. He had his face set like flint. And also, if we're not into pleasing people or that competitive issue of pride within us where we're trying to prove ourselves to man, when we get to this place where we know God is pleased with us and if very few people even see or understand that that's an okay place to be, that's where Jesus walked. He's bringing us to that.
And that brings me to another point that we didn't discuss today so far is that even if God leaves us in a place of obscurity, now this is more between me and God rather than me and people, but if he leaves me in a place of obscurity the rest of my life and I affect, you know, people through radio and on Facebook and a few in my classroom and things, but if it's basically, you know, never the big ministry fame and all of that, am I mature enough in my faith to be happy to please the Lord? You know, to be what he wants to be through me rather than what I want or what people want.
Exactly. Goes right back to that man-pleasing spirit. you know, God put us here for his specific purpose, and it's good. And, you know, we can be content totally in that. Or, you know, if we're projecting outer images like ministry is a certain thing or this or that, we're missing the point about who we are. So we can be an influence.
Right. God's goal for us isn't to have a certain ministry or business or vocation or appearance or any of the things that we hear so much about today. I believe God's goal for us is that we will want, first of all, to know him and to delight in his presence. And any of us can look at whatever competes with that in our life is immaturity. We have got to mature into a place of knowing our eternal relationship is with God. All of our meaning, our identity, everything is with him. And all these other things that prevent us from being a clear expression of him are immaturity and need to go.
Yeah. And, yeah, full stature, the full stature of Christ. And I just wanted to comment, too, that love, you know, love never fails, and love covers a multitude of sins. And we can do all kind of stuff, but we don't have love. It means absolutely nothing. So in that one-on-one with him and our focusing on him first, seek ye first the kingdom, then his love is going to have its way. So that's probably, maybe love is the greatest measure of maturity. And I'm like, you know, I pray all the time, Lord, I do not know how to love like you, but I know you're faithful to, you paid for it, so you're going to work it out through me, you know?
That's right. And then here's the tricky part. Even if we, you know, all the listeners and we all agree to pray for each other and we all become very mindful of these points of maturity, now we're up to about 50, even if we're doing well and we're moving along with this and everything, not to trip up by judging other people as to whether they are.
Yeah.
Just to be content to know that God is working in all of our lives and not to let our new insights cause us to have to go back to square one because we're judging other people.
Now, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And humility isn't always about being quiet or, you know, a doormat or whatever, but it's about, God, bring me back to square one as often as you need to. Like, help me remain teachable. And it's okay to say, like I seem to frequently do, I don't know anything. But if I know you, that's it. You know.
Well, and I think that you made another very valuable point, that humility and silence or weakness, you know, these aren't synonyms. That I believe that God considers us the most humble when we say, live through us anywhere, any way you want to, with anybody at any time. And many times that means taking a stand, standing alone, confessing Christ, or standing for some values and against others, or clarifying that God is Jehovah God and not Allah or whatever, and that humility doesn't mean that we don't take a strong stand. It means we're willing to no matter what the cost.
Right. We're not trying to save our own face or image or anything.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
That's not about
I don't know that we're there yet. I don't know that we're there yet. It's like, Lord, you know.
Well, we're going to be tested more and more because we're either going to be totally yielded to God or we're going to just be tossed to and fro by everything that comes along.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you very much. I hope everybody wrote all those down because now instead of having a 35-point list, we've got about a 50-point list. Maybe you can get 2 points for each one. But we're hoping to at least be headed in the right direction, you know? Anytime we think we've got it made, then we're starting over at square one. But we're hoping that we can, you know, be in agreement with God to know that only Christ can live in maturity and bring us to that full mature stature. as we allow him to live through us. None of us have got it in ourselves, alone, separate. Woo.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for sharing. Please call again.
Okay, you're welcome.
Blessings. Oh, God. You know, we all have a piece of the puzzle, don't we? You know, we all prophesy in part. We teach in part. We love in part. We're all part of a major team called the body of Christ, and we need each other. We need to hear from each other. We need to know that other people value some of the things that God's shown us. We also need to learn to value some of the things God's shown them. Woo! Okay. Another caller. This would be area code 979. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Carlotta, it's Kim.
Hello, Kim.
Hello. Kim from Texas. Can you hear?
Yes.
I couldn't imagine how you could tell.
Well, have you had some situations where you had to learn something about maturity?
I've had a life of learning about maturity.
Okay, share, please.
I'm thinking about, like, fruit hanging on a tree, you know. There's a lot of winds that come, and, you know, sometimes I've been tempted to think double-minded and being tossed to and fro and not sure, you know, what I'm going to believe about what God's already said to me. And sometimes I've received some bruises due to my double-mindedness. And so learning to be singular and focus and hearing from the Lord and standing on that. Also, another thing I want to say about maturity is that it's evident in our fruit. And, you know, some people are very touchy about people judging in the church, you know, whether someone's mature or not. But it's not about maturity. But, you know, Jesus tests our fruit. You know, we'll go through a season, and then there will be a test at the end of the season. And lots of times I've failed those tests at the end of the season because I thought I had arrived because of a certain amount of wisdom I exercised during that season. But I've also learned not to compare myself to others in my maturity because I'm on my own journey. I'm not in competition with others.
And back to what it is to be double-minded versus single-minded. Do you have some particular thoughts on that?
Well, a lot of situations could be applicable to that, but the situation I was going through was when I was struggling to believe certain doctrines of Scripture about healing, and someone in the church who didn't believe in healing challenged me several times, and they kept coming against me, telling me I couldn't pray that way, and I couldn't do this, and I couldn't do that, and so much legalism kept coming against me, and I became weak, and I started wondering, well, am I doing the right thing? And I became double-minded because I started asking myself those questions when I had actually experienced healing from God. So then a prophetic person came to me, and they prayed over me, and they told me I was sick because I had been double-minded, and I need to decide what I'm going to believe. And so at that point, I made the decision that I'm going to go with God.
Okay. Okay.
And not the elder of the church.
Well, I know people are asking, how do you get the moral fiber or the strength to do that? You know, and other people are telling you you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, they're free to express themselves. I don't have to agree with them, and I don't have to pretend to agree with them, but I can peacefully go my own way and continue to pray the way God's telling me to pray.
And I want to add something. It's a slightly different take on double-minded just for a minute here before we go on. I was taught to choose to see God with a single eye instead of be double-minded. And what that meant was a double-minded person can think that sometimes God is good, sometimes he's not, or that it's a two-power universe, that sometimes the devil's in control and sometimes God's not. But a person that sees life with a single eye knows that God's always in control, even when things, at least for the moment, don't look like they're going to work out for good. A person with a single eye can see that things are going to work out for my best because God always has my best interest at heart. And even if it's just changing my priorities, because I might think the best is when I make more money or am more famous or, you know, more noticed. But God might be thinking, no, that's not your greatest need right now. And he is working things out for the best when he lets there be challenges. And so when we choose to see God with a single eye, then it helps us to be mature in every area of our life because we're anchored in the fact that he is good. Everything he does is going to work out for good, and I can rest in that and not develop some other theology that says sometimes the devil's in control and God doesn't even know what's going on. That's a big one, I know.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure what all has been brought up already with the subject of maturity. I kind of got in late on the show.
Well, just go ahead, because we can discuss it, you know, from many different viewpoints, even if it's already been mentioned. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, just the analogy I like to teach. The way that I became mature after, of course, I went through Restoration Prayer Ministry, which was awesome, but I found that I was more free to read the Word of God and have it kind of soak into my soul and displace things that needed to be removed. And, you know, just thinking about a tree and fruit, you know, if a fruit tree needs to mature, then it needs a certain amount of sunlight. And so we need the illumination of the Word. And we also need the water of the Word in our life as well to wash. We need things illumined to us so we can see the truth, we can see the lies, and then the water of the Word can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, you know, Restoration Prayer Ministry got that ball rolling in my life. And so as I was in the Word, I got more cleansing because I had a greater understanding of the Word in my life. So, and then I think I've arrived once again, you know, in these seasons. And then I fall down, and then I realize, oh, I'm just mature in that little area. There's so many facets to maturity. I've got to go on and get up and mature in, you know, oodles of other areas.
Well, I like what you're saying about the Word, and we could have put that first, and we didn't. It's a badly needed addition to this list because probably coming from a heart-to-heart point of view, that to have our significance based on God's truth and God's Word, if I had to pick only one thing, that might be the number one thing, that my significance is based on God's truth and what he says about me or situations or people versus what people say. Because I'll never be able to mature if I'm going by what people say. Never.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you know, you've got kids. What do you say to kids about maturity? Because a lot of the things we're saying is still a little bit adult to adult today, too. Don't want to put you on the spot, but since you're in touch with all different ages of kids, how do you teach them about maturity?
Well, I've been teaching for quite some time that maturity is something practiced Monday through Saturday.
Uh-oh.
It's not a show that we do on Sundays. It's in every aspect of our life. It's especially what we are when no one is watching, when we think that we're getting away with something. And that's not just for kids. That's for me, too, to be mindful of what kind of integrity do I really have, and is my faith genuine? Is it expressed with agape love, with God's kind of love in action and not just in word, but also in deed.
Amen. And those are the people that I appreciate. You know, and even just plain old friendliness. Somebody posted something on Facebook, and I wish I remembered exactly, but it was something to the effect is, you know, true friendliness is who you are to folks outside of church.
Hmm.
similar to what you said, but I think that just really struck a chord in my heart. Yeah, my true friends are people that want to be my friend outside of the church meeting, not just inside of church.
Mm.
They care about how I'm doing during the week, or they'll call me, or they want to be with me, or they want to rejoice when I rejoice, or they want to pray for me when I'm down. Those are the true friends, and I would say that about maturity, too, that, like you said, maturity is not an act that you put on. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
Neither, on the other hand, to me, is maturity needing to be noticed, because some of the, I've always said over the years, some of the most mature Christians and most powerful Christians, generals in the faith that I've had the honor to know personally, are often the quietest ones in the building, in the meeting, in the service, and they let the people that are growing in these areas lead or go forward. And, you know, they're not trying to be noticed or be heard because they actually have the most experience or most knowledge or the most anything. They're the quietest ones there often.
Mm-hmm. And their spiritual authority is probably a little bit greater as well because of their maturity to be in the presence of God. Because that's where our authority comes from. It comes from being in the presence of God. And when we soak in, you know, the written word and the spoken word and in the presence, then he can transform us into something that's a little more mature than it was last year. And we go through these seasons, and we'll see spiritual authority increase. I remember hearing John Paul Jackson teaching on authority, and he spoke about, you know, how he walked by someone and there was this screaming noise came out of this person, and that, you know, he wasn't even really doing anything or praying, but it was just the level of authority that he walks in. It, not even the power, but just the level of authority that he has. And to me, that's a sign of maturity, is also your authority. I think the two go together. I think they're connected.
It does, and many times spiritual authority is, I would say it's quiet, because I know that some of the most powerful people I know, they just go to meetings and they pray silently the whole time, but they're not passive. They're not just observing, and they are having a very strong part in what's going on as they agree with the Holy Spirit and what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Anything else, Kim?
And oftentimes those quiet ones are also servants. As you said, they're praying quietly, but a lot of times they're doing things in the background that other people don't always see. And so they have a lifestyle of servanthood, and that's what Jesus did. You know, he had a lifestyle of serving people. And these type of people also welcome correction, rebukes, and they're eager for more training in righteousness.
Amen. Top of the list item there, that they're open to correction themselves.
Mm.
And,
I didn't know if you all talked about that already.
That's worth mentioning again. And also, I don't know how to put this into words because I don't want to promote false humility, but my husband could tell me right now what the man's name is, but there was a Christian leader who was invited along with many others to an appreciation dinner or something of some kind. And the Lord asked him to just take his plate and go back to his hotel room. And there'll be times in our life when God will exercise us in not doing anything that's attention getting. I don't know how to put this into words because it can apply in so many situations. But to avoid things like, you know, when they wanted to worship Paul and Silas or Peter or whoever, you know, and they're like, no, you know, and to be very careful. Not that it's wrong to go to an appreciation dinner, they're wonderful, but you know what I'm saying? If God tells you, you're having an issue with pride, why don't you just sit this one out and be willing to do it?
Hmm. Well, that's an area that I could definitely use some more instruction because it's so fun to receive the accolades from men. It's really a lot of fun to hear that those things, or just to be appreciated sometimes that we have.
Right.
Especially if you're choleric.
Yeah. There's a difference between receiving appreciation humbly, because I think a humble person can receive a compliment and can just say thank you or praise the Lord or something very simple. They don't have to give a speech about how it's God, not them either. They can just very quietly just say thank you and just keep moving, you know. But there's a difference between that and actually having a motivation to be attention-getting, over-talkative, full of yourself, even if you don't say anything, to still want to touch God's glory, to have a motivation of wanting to do it for the glory that's in it. Ouch. Our motivation makes all the difference. We've got two more callers, so I better run. Thank you so much for those insights, Kim.
Bye-bye.
And, wow, I'm just blown away, and this is really how I'd like this program to be from the beginning. Rather than me teaching so much, I would rather go back and forth like this the whole program myself. So if you all have some insights or opinions on that, you feel welcome to share that too. Now, this other caller, I don't have a phone number. I've got a name. Seems to be, I remember you've called once before, and this isn't your name, but the caller that calls in on John's phone, welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. It's Robin from the Netherlands.
Oh, Robin. From the Netherlands. Oh,
yeah.
How are you?
Good. I just started working again after a 3 weeks vacation. And I see if you yield to the Lord, He will turn things around. I noticed it like at my first work day and my second work day, things are shifting around, and I'm very, very grateful to the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes, and I was listening a little bit what you were talking about, authority, and it's a very good topic, because my experience is that many people don't know what it is, and they can use it wrong, or they can use it at the wrong moment, and I learned that's very important to keep focused on the Lord and what He wants to say. So that's my little comment.
And what would you contrast that to? I want to add it to the list, Robin. Are we truly operating in God's authority, or what would that opposite of that be, do you think?
Yeah. Truly in God's authority.
Versus what?
Versus let's say that you think that you are in authority, but you are not. That you are speaking at the wrong moment, and then it seems that you are in authority, but you are not. Flesh, because I noticed that, for instance, at work we had a course today about we are all leaders, and I'm becoming a leader over there, and this course, that course, the people that was teaching this course, we had to mention some things, and I said, Lord, this wisdom, where does this come from? Because they were blown away, and I said, that can only be the Lord. And when you say something at the right moment, with the right attitude, let's say, people are going to be stunned. Things are going to be shifting.
Right, because you're saying it under an anointing rather than just own ideas or
Amen.
Own opinion.
Yes.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Oh, I just want to bless you.
Yes, thank you. I called also because maybe I can, I'm still pondering about that word that you gave me the last time. It's a very, very good on-time word. But maybe you yeah, maybe you have an addition, or maybe the Lord has more for me.
Well, we can ask. Let me tell everyone that's listening that I have this gift of forgetting. I don't really remember much about what I prophesied because it wasn't in my understanding anyway. It wasn't out of natural knowledge or observation, or and there
yeah.
might be a word of exhortation or, you know, a point of insight in it, but I don't have a clue what was said before, but I can ask God what he wants to say today.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. See the goodness of the Lord. Just see the goodness of the Lord. And the Lord says, I'm bringing blessing after blessing after blessing in your life, and all I ask is that you make memorial stones. Even as Joshua was careful with when he crossed the Jordan River, to stop and even build not only memorial stones on the side of the river where they reached, but even while the waters were parted, to build memorial stones in the middle of the river. I think it was like halfway through and on the other side. But the Lord says, all I ask is that you make these memorial stones, not because I am a respecter of persons, but because I'm not. And when you give your testimony, that you can assure me, assure others, that the Lord says, I keep my promises to everyone. And in declaring my word and saying it is written, or saying you promised God, or I choose to believe you, God, that it's an honor to me because I am a fair God and I am just. And I am making all things work out for good. And just keep those memorial stones and give me the glory. And the Lord says, I will see to it that you have blessing and favor. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm going to
yeah.
rush on because we have one more caller and only about four minutes. So let me see if we can do this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's see, the name that begins with Tolkien, you're on the air.
Hi, Carlotta. It's Donnie here from Cape Town.
It's who?
Donnie from, or Daniel from Cape Town.
Oh, Cape Town. Wow.
Yes, South Africa, yes. He's spoken
okay.
a while back with my wife, Nikki.
Oh, Nikki's husband. Awesome.
Yes. I would just like to declare over the airwaves that the Lord Jesus is my Savior. And, I just wanted to let you know that all's well here in Cape Town, and we're looking forward to what Jesus is doing in our lives.
And did you have any different view on maturity there in Africa that you can shed light on this?
Well, I'm on a Joseph journey, so I'm looking forward. I'm in the river at the moment. I'm looking to cross the Jordan soon, and and I hope that you've got some word for me as well.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, they're not giants, Donnie. They appear to be giants, but not compared to me, because I'm always big and they're always little. And the Lord says, I'm just bringing to that place where you see, like you've never seen before, that my God has all authority in heaven and earth, and he lives inside me.
Amen.
And the Lord says that I've promised you many things. If you'll just go back and make a list of all the things that I've promised you, and to know that it will all come true, and to know that mm-hmm. it's safe for you to rejoice and dance and sing ahead of time, because I'm good for it. And the Lord says that there'll be things that have to be wiped out, just as the giants basically were tribes of Nephilim that were defiled, corrupt DNA from fallen angels visiting the women of the human race, and they had to be wiped out. It's not that I'm into genocide, the Lord says, But you will know that I'm saying, you know, I'm showing you what the desires of my heart are, showing you what my choices are, showing you the way to go. The specific strategies for each victory, you will know what to declare. And, you know, I'm just hearing it might be really good for you just to read the book of Joshua. There's, and even Judges, but there's all these victories, like 31 and 31 there. And they're just so amazing with different strategies for each one. But the Lord said, I've just put that heart in you and growing it and feeding it and developing it, that heart like Joshua, that he never forgot to depend on me, and he never forgot to give me the glory. And he led the people to put all their confidence in hearing my voice and doing it my way, even to the exclusion of them doing anything but marching silently, for instance, around Jericho for 6 days and doing a shout on the end. And sometimes the Lord says we get confused on what our weapons are. But the Lord says, I'm putting it in your heart to be a demonstration of the importance of hearing my voice, hearing my strategies, and knowing what your weapons are in each situation. Amen?
Amen. Oh, thanks for that. It sounds very exciting, and I'll keep you up to date of the progress on this side and what the Lord's been doing in my life.
Please. I'd love to have a whole program just of updates and testimonies of what God has done and how people are stepping out to fulfill their words that they have received. I mean, from anybody, not just me. But
yes.
I just like that emphasis. I like the emphasis to end up on with what God was saying, you know, that Joshua never forgot who he was dependent on, and he led the people victory after victory after victory, and no matter how silly God's instructions seemed to be, you know, and these were mighty men of war. We're talking seriously strong men here in hand-to-hand battle. They didn't get to just sit back and shoot a cannon even. You know, well, they might have had catapults, but, you know, they were seriously strong men. And so I think the Lord's saying to us all today, maturity recognizes where we're strong in some areas, but even our strong areas, even our strengths are always because of Christ in us, and to never, ever forget that immaturity goes back to the flesh. Immaturity thinks that we have anything in us separate from Christ. But we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that we can, that you are responsible for our growth as we allow you to be. We say, Lord, you said that you would tutor us, that you would raise us up, that you would grow us up. We just thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. And we just turn to you right now. We just turn our eyes on Jesus.
find Jesus, return.